shine. Matthew 16. Honor God's law. Matthew 5:17. Be reconciled. Matthew 5:23-25. Do not lust. Matthew 5:28-30. Keep your word. Matthew 5:37. Go the second mile. Matthew 5:38-42. Love your enemies. Matthew 5:44-46. Be perfect. Matthew 5:46-48. Practice secret disciplines. Matthew 6:1-18. Lay up treasures in heaven. Matthew 6:19-21. Seek God's kingdom. Matthew 6:33. Judge not. Matthew 7:1-3. Do not cast pearls. Matthew 7:6. Ask, seek, knock. Matthew 7:7-8. Do unto others. Matthew 7:12. Choose the narrow way. Matthew 7:13-14. Beware of false prophets. Matthew 7:15-16. Pray for laborers for the harvest. Matthew 9:37-38. Be wise as serpents. Matthew 10:16. Fear not. Matthew 10:28. Hear God's voice. Matthew 11:15. Take my yoke. Matthew 11:28-30. Honor your parents, kids. Hey. Matthew 15:4. Beware of leaven of the Pharisees. Matthew 16:6. Deny yourself. Luke 23:25. Despise not little ones. Matthew 18:10. Go to offenders. Matthew 18:15-17. Beware of covetousness. Luke 12:15. Forgive offenders. Matthew 18:21-22. Honor marriage. Matthew 19:4-6. Be a servant. Matthew 20:26-28. Be a house of prayer. Matthew 21:13. Ask in faith. Matthew 21:21-22. Bring in the poor. Luke 14:12-14. Render to Caesar what is Caesar's. Matthew 22:19-21. Love the Lord. Matthew 23:37-38. Love your neighbor. Matthew 22:39-40. Await my return. Matthew 24:42-44. Take, eat, and drink. Matthew 26:26-28. Be born again. John 3:5-7. Keep my commandments. If John 14:15, watch and pray. Matthew 26:41. Feed my sheep. John 21:15-16. Baptize my disciples. Matthew 28:19. Receive God's power. Luke 24:49. Make disciples. Matthew 28:19-20. Grace and peace. All of these are Jesus' words. All of these are Jesus' words. And if you're going through the checklist in your head like I am, I'm a checklist guy. Done. Yep. Uh-huh. Yep. Got that one. Oh, that one sucks. Ooh, stop talking, Adam. Yep. Oh, got that one too. Okay, I'm not as bad as I am. Oh, crap. I am a terrible person. I missed the last three. And then we get down to the last one. Make disciples. Do you feel like you're a qualified disciple maker? Do you feel like you know how to make disciples? Do you feel like you understand what it is to be a disciple? We go through this list and these things, we're like, yeah, we got these. Yeah, we can do some of this. And then we get to the last thing that Jesus says, the last thing when he's on earth is, go. Teach everyone else these things. Live with people in doing these things. And we vapor lock because we don't get it. We don't get the heart of it. We don't get the understanding of it. We don't understand, well, I don't know how to do that. Well, I'm not qualified for that. even though all these things that I just read are qualifications for doing such things. These things are roadmaps of what change our heart. These things are roadmaps of what bring us to and into healthy habits and spiritual formation. And how we are spiritually formed, how we are spiritually working out into the people God is calling us to be. We're going into a new series as Whitewater. And I must confess, I'm jaded to this series, even though I said yes to it. And it's because I read this book. Look at how small it is. If you have 10 minutes on the toilet, you could probably finish this whole book. Don't act like you don't do that and sit on Facebook on your phone and scroll. Oh man, I've been here 30 minutes. That's you. I know, it's okay, it's okay. Get lost in some videos or, you know, a really long rant that you're writing as you're on the toilet about politics or something cool. I read this book, and we've been talking in our God Dreams meetings and how we're moving us forward and where God is taking us and where God is leading us and where God is calling us into. And one of the things that we said was probably our lowest mark is Whitewater is a lot of things, but when it comes to evangelism, Whitewater's not it. That's a weakness for us. Which is amazing because everything that we as leadership have attempted to do is get us out of ourselves. Get us out of this building. Get us living with people. Does anybody remember our big block party initiative? Remember how you guys chose not to participate in that? The majority of you? And we continue to tell you every summer, know your neighbors, be the best neighbor that you can be, love your neighbors, get involved with your neighbors, find out what your neighbors need and be that for them. And Jesus is going to start changing your neighborhoods. And you guys are like, that's all good for you, but I'm not. Make disciples, I don't know how to do that. Okay? So I read this book and I'm like, this book is great. It's everything we've already said. But it's packaged in a little bit different way. It's packaged in such a way that you and I might hear it fresh, might hear from God. He might start massaging our hearts, and we might start working out this muscle called evangelism, this big scary word, which is just another word for go, make disciples. So, for those of you thinking in your mind, oh crap, they're going to go through another book study and not teach Bible, I want to slap you as hard as I can. Right now, I do. When have you ever been here and never heard scripture taught from the stage? Let's just demystify this now. You have never, ever been here and not heard scripture taught from the stage. And every time we do this, every time we teach a series, we hear rumblings. So it's something I, as your pastor, get excited about when I'm like, we're going to roll out this new study, and you're like, ugh. Not all, some. When are you going to teach scripture again? Every Sunday, sucker, come at me. Okay? Every Sunday, we're going to teach you. And what's funny is I hear rumblings from people, and it's from almost the most inactive people that we have. Are you in an LTG? Well, now, no. How about you reading scripture? No. Are you loving your neighbor? No. When are you going to teach me, feed me some scripture that I can do nothing with? It's frustrating to be a pastor at times. And I was my pastor's frustration once upon a time. And I sit on both sides of this fence. So enough of the spanking. Okay? Enough of the spanking. We're going to go, and we're moving. God has called us to go, make disciples. God has called us to love our neighbors as ourselves. God has called us to do these things, and we together are going to hear how. we together are going to learn five habits that highly missional people use to make disciples of Jesus. Are you ready? Cue up the video for me. We're gonna hear from Michael Frost, the author of Surprise the World.
Hi, my name is Mike Frost. I want to speak to you about the importance of fostering missional habits in your life. You're probably used to the fact that churches are promoting all sorts of habitual practices as a way of shaping you to become more like Jesus. Churches would expect that you would attend worship meetings weekly. That's a weekly habit or rhythm. That habit or rhythm reinforces the importance of gathering together, of worshiping God, of studying the Bible. So the regular Sunday meetings are a habitual practice that shapes the kind of people that we are. Well, we have small group meetings or connect groups or Bible studies, whatever your church might call them, and those are ways of weekly or fortnightly developing a rhythm or a habit that says it's important that we share life with each other and that we listen to what the Word of God would say to us. Most churches would expect that their members would habitually tithe or contribute financially to the life of the church, and all of these things are good things. In fact, I do all of these things myself. So they're good, and I want to affirm them. But I do want to ask this question. How many of the regularly expected habits that your church fosters, how many of those would you say are missional? That is to say, how many of the regular, habitual lifestyle practices promoted by your church actually propel you outwards into the world to alert others to the reign of God? Now, I'm not being all critical or anything. It just seems to me that for most of us, our church lives foster habits that bind us to each other, which is good, which connect us more deeply to God by hearing His word or through prayer, Bible study and the like, which is good. But what's expected of us that's going to propel us outwards? It seems to me most of our missional activities in our churches, they are kind of extracurricular. You know, you're expected to come to church, you're expected to be in a small group, expected to tithe, expected to pray, those kinds of things. And if you like, if you've got a bit of extra time, would you volunteer in this program or be part of that ministry and the like? But which is good, don't get me wrong, I'm fine with it all, except I have found there's incredible value in developing a set of habits that bind me to God's commitment to propel me into this world. That's what I want us to think about today. I want us to think about what habitual practices would help me do that. My question is, what would it look like if at the very core of our churches, there are a series of habits, required or expected behaviors, that helped bind us to each other and did help us connect more deeply with God, but which also propelled us outwards as sent ones into the world in which God's placed us. You see, it's been common for us to think that we need to get our thinking right, and then in right thinking, we'll be propelled to act correctly as well. The technical way of talking about that is to say that orthodoxy, right thinking, leads to orthopraxy. In other words, we think our way into a new way of living. And maybe you've had experiences like that. You've learned things, it's changed the way you think, and then you've acted upon that. That's great. But you also know lots of people do the reverse. We learn how to live in a particular way, and that then shapes our thinking. If you were raised in the church, for example, your parents probably raised you with these habitual practices I was just talking about, going to church, worship, small groups, those kinds of things. The lifestyle then shaped the way you thought about yourself and God and fostered your faith in Christ. Both are right. You can move from orthodoxy to orthopraxy, or you can move from orthopraxy into orthodoxy. And it's that second category I want us to think about. Missional habits are basically saying, is it possible for us to foster a lifestyle which promotes our thinking about what the mission of God looks like? Throughout my book, Surprise the World, I unpack each of those five habits, and I talk about how living these habits, living them habitually, not only bind us to each other, they propel us outwards into the world. I want to encourage you to consider that these might actually become set patterns, not in a legalistic or constraining way, but a way which frees you to connect more deeply with God, more profoundly with each other, and actually to propel you outwards into the world that so desperately needs to know God.
All right, don't let that scare you. This is where we're headed, folks. And I'm excited, and if you know anything about Michael Frost, he was not excited to do this book or roll this out, because he comes from a church much like ours where all he's doing is being obedient and trying to figure out what will get our people to move. So this starts catching on, and he self-admittedly knows this is no magic formula, no magic bullet, no big surprise, no big thing, but it's something that's working to help build the spiritual formation that's creating leaders in his church that are going out and changing the world by making disciples, the very thing that we struggle with here. Making sense? You remember when Craig talked about the Missio Dei? One person, good. Missio Dei is the mission of God. And the mission of God is all these great things that you just heard about: receiving God's power, being forgiven, forgive, love your neighbor, all these things that we get really excited about until we reach the go and change the world, go and do this for everybody else, go and live this lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. It's not a program. These things, you know, a lot of things that we do here are Christian doings. We create things and opportunities for us to go serve together, right? And what we hope then is this sparks in us together that it's no longer a Christian doing. It's not a, if I have time, I'll go and live this lifestyle. If I have time, I will love others like Jesus loves them. If I have time, I will be dedicated to learning from my God and listening for the Holy Spirit. If I have time left over after my workday, I will be attentive to my family and try to disciple my kids. If I have time, and again, that's Christian doing, right? We kind of separate it. And what we're trying to move into is Christian being. These things aren't negotiables in our world. These things aren't checklist things in our world. These things aren't if we have time. These things are, we don't have any other time but to do these things wherever we are. Wherever we exist, whoever we're talking to, whoever's in front of us, we are going to love because we've worked out this spiritual formation in our world. But this is who we are now. This is how we live. That's how we roll. So I'm excited about this. And again, I started off jaded because I'm like, man, we've said some of this stuff. We've said the majority of all this stuff. And my prayer is that you will engage fully, 100%, in what's happening with this. You see this little book? You can pick this up on Amazon for under $5, and it'll be shipped to you in a couple of days. It'll be here. You can find it all over online for under $5. And I thought, we should buy these and give these to people. And I said, no, that's probably throwing pearls before swine. For some. Not all. Adam, I'm never coming back to this church. I'm new here, and you just keep insulting me. Come back next week, okay? You'll get more. But we've done the book studies. We've done where we said we want you to participate, and we've handed them out, and you guys start strong. You come the first week, and then, oh, I don't have time to read that. Or it just gets left in our office. Or it gets donated to the library. Or it just does absolutely nothing in your world. So what we're asking for from you is skin in the game. You willing to put some in? My little books, $5 online. Go get it. Read it. Read with us. So you have something to go back to. And I can guarantee all of these things are centered on scriptural principles of how Jesus lives. So if you're worried about not getting taught scripture for the next 8 weeks, don't. Okay? That's it for today, my friends. Us together, we are going and we are making disciples. We are going to change the world. We have a lot of great things going on inside of our hearts as Whitewater. We are a unique body. Anytime I spend time with other churches, I realize how unique we actually are. I'm going to cry because you're my baby. We hold precious things in our heart. We love in ways that other churches aren't willing to love in. And I thought, what happens if we take that same passion and we learn how to make disciples that make disciples that make disciples through spiritual formation that creates other leaders here in this kingdom that change the world? We're going to be unstoppable when we become Christian beers. When it's just a part of our DNA, what in the world? God is telling me to stop. And that's what I want for all of us. Not so we can fill this theater, that would be sweet. Not so we can just bring in a ton of money and bless the kingdom and the world and the community with what we give and how we love. Those things are all a part of growing in Jesus, absolutely. But because this is what we're called to be. And there's no sweeter place to be. There's no other sweet spot in your world than there, that you can be other than who Christ has called you to do, be, and do. That's it. This is where we're headed. This is where we're going. And we want you to come with us. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for how you love us. Thank you for all the things that you've said. God, thank you for all the things that you've called us to. Thank you for even allowing us to be your disciples. God, that you would care for us so much that you would wrap yourself in flesh and come down here and teach us these things personally, speak these things personally, live with us personally, die for us personally, that we would understand and take serious this gospel, this good news that changes hearts, changes our hearts, and changes the world. So God, beat in our hearts. Move us from doing to being. God, bring us from a place of helplessness to a place of nothing but hope for ourselves and others. God, move us into the Missio Dei, your mission. God, move us there. It's in your name we pray, and thank you, and everyone said, amen. We have some ladies up here to pray with you. We got Cindy and April, and if you have anything that you need prayer for, come pray. Come be a part of that youth group. If you want the weekly devotionals printed out, Sherry is willing to meet you down at the Whitewater office and print out for whoever would like it printed out and in their hands, which I find weird because you guys all have cell phones and can read PDFs, so I don't know, are we backsliding here with technology? What's going on? You guys are strange. But if you guys need that, come get it. She'll beat you down there, and we're going to be out early enough for brunch. So I'm guessing, I think when you go to brunch at McDonald's, they serve you a number 3 with a slice of cantaloupe at the end. That's a brunch, right? Isn't that what brunch is? Love you all. Grace and peace. See you next week. Go get that book, Surprise the World by Michael Frost.